Welcome to the House Water Committee, April 22nd. We have a couple of kind of housekeeping items. First of all, there's a motion on reconsideration. First of all, the Chair would request that we, unanimous consent, that we waive the rules and reconsider House Bill 3047 for purposes of reconsidering the House Bill 3047. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And we'd need a motion to reconsider House Bill 3047.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider House Bill 3047.
Okay.
Reconsider the vote by which we
reconsider the vote by which we pass House Bill 3047.
Yes.
Is there any discussion on the motion? And would you explain to us, Representative Dingfelder, why you'd like to have us do this?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. 3047, which passed out of this committee unanimously, we are going to amend it, a couple of amendments that Representative Cruz suggested, and also we're going to eliminate some sections, in particular Section 3, that has a fiscal, and we've decided not to move forward with that portion. So we're going to come back with amendments on Thursday.
So fundamentally, there are two reasons for the reconsideration then. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there questions on those?
Mr. Chair, I'd just say I appreciate Representative Dingfelder's work on this, I think.
Was that what the hugging was for?
Yes, actually it was.
Bridging the urban-rural gap here.
Representative Crook.
No, sir, I was just commenting, Mr. Chair, that it's a love fest.
Right.
It is Earth Day, by the way, Mr. Chair, so I think that was another
And Mr. Chair, if I may make comment on that, every day is Earth Day for farmers.
That was well put. Would you call a roll, please?
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Shopler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
Aye.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 3047 is being brought back into the committee and will be on our schedule for Thursday this week. And we assume that the amendments will be here. Failure to have the amendments here will place the bill in considerable jeopardy. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3047, open a work session on House Bill 2991.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee, do we need to suspend the rules again?
I need unanimous consent for suspending the rules for purposes of reconsideration of House Bill 2991. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2991.
Representative Cruz moves that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2991. Is there discussion? Why are we reconsidering this? Pete?
Chair Jensen, there was a prior referral to House to Revenue, which we... which I neglected to let you know about fast enough.
So what we need to have then is to reconsider it and then have a motion to refer it to Revenue.
That's right.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any other discussion on this? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Shopler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
Excuse.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 2991 is now back in our possession, and with that, I would need a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz.
I move House Bill 2991 to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves House Bill 2991 to the floor with a subsequent referral to Revenue with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
With amendments.
No, there's no
amendments.
Yeah, there is one.
Well, but it's already been adopted. Is there discussion? And just to clarify, make sure the record is straight on this, this is the bill as it was amended.
Right.
That
okay.
we were talking about. Okay? We call the roll in.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Shockley.
Aye.
Representative
May. Aye. Representative Kingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Shrupp.
Excused.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 2991 is passed and referred to the Committee on Revenue. And at this time, we'll open a work session on House Bill 3215. Mr. Tapp.
House Bill 3215 requires point of diversion in transfer from surface water to groundwater appropriation to be from confined aquifer, defines confined aquifer. We have -3 amendments that were worked on quite hastily over the last couple of days, and they're quite lengthy. I would have the chief sponsors of the bill come and try and explain their amendments, and that's what I think that you should do, because right now I can't explain.
-3. Give me your packet.
I need to call.
Yeah. Mr. Riggs, you are the sponsor of the -3 amendments, is it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Tell us first off what the -3 amendments do and how they affect the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Riggs, here today representing the Central Oregon Cities Organization. As directed by the committee on Thursday, we met with Legislative Council for about 3 hours on Thursday morning into the afternoon, and then had a series of discussions with a variety of interested parties over the last couple days. The amendments on 3215 really are relatively simple. The amendments on 3217 are more complicated, and I'll describe those when we get to them. If you are looking at your bill, the -3, House Bill 3215, there are two major changes, and I'll pass out a short handout. If you turn to page 3 on the -3 amendments, the intention of the change at Legislative Council was to ensure that within a 5-year period, any applicant could request returning to their existing their prior surface water rights. And we wanted to make sure that after a certain point in time that they could still make such a request to the department. But since a significant amount of time had passed, we wanted to ensure that there was no injury to other users that may have cropped up in that 5-year intervening time frame. And so if you look at lines 7 through 12 on page 3, the goal here was to say that after a 5-year time frame, the department would have to determine that a return to a surface water right would not lead to injury to any other existing water user.
But that water right. Same priority date?
Correct.
Thank you.
The second change in 3215 comes on line 21 of page 3. Several individuals had asked that we ensure that we provide notification to parties that might be impacted. And I understand that the department is moving through a rules-making process on notification, and that process might address the same issue, but I had committed that we would put something on notification in the bill, in the amendment. And I think it's entirely reasonable to ask that the department, in its normal manner, provide notification to any affected party.
Colleagues, you will recall that we visited this bill a few days ago. Mr. Neil Bryant was here along with others explaining it to us. Am I to assume, and is the committee to assume then that with the -3 amendments, everybody is happy with this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I can't speak for everybody. I will say I am happy. I will say that I think that we significantly narrowed the differences between the various parties. I think that if you talk to Water Watch or Oregon Trout, they may still have general concerns with the overall goal of the bill, the thrust of the bill. But I think that we did address some of the outstanding concerns. I know the Water Resources Department, having seen the amendments, was significantly more comfortable yesterday afternoon after we got them at 4:30 than they were prior to that period of time. I won't speak for Mr. Cleary himself, but I believe that we've narrowed the differences.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question of Doug?
About the cars. Water Watch.
Please. My question on page 3, sub B. You have moved, I take my water right and I transfer it to something else, and then I want to take it back to where it was, it says it will not result in injury to an existing water right. Would that make at that point in time a junior water right give it standing over a senior water right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cruz, I think that's a very good question. This is something that, from my client's perspective, in an ideal world, they probably would not prefer to see in the bill. But they realize that there, after a certain period of time, there has to be an expectation that if you, for lack of a better phrase, if you snooze, you lose. And if you get beyond the 5-year time frame and you haven't yet figured out that you don't really want to keep your groundwater right, which you've gotten under this provision, it's your fault, and you made a mistake, and you have to suffer the consequences. So for people who, remember, this is a voluntary provision, so no one is forced to go from a surface water right to a groundwater right. But we did agree with people in the work group. I think Kimberly was one of the people who made the point that we need to be cognizant of the fact that we don't want to, after a period of time, kind of a grace period, so to speak, have a negative impact on those people who may have acquired a surface water right in that 5-year period. So we would not have suggested this provision, but we were willing to accept it.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I transfer from surface to ground and up to 5 years. I can transfer back and I still have primacy, but it is 5 years, 1 day. So I no longer have the certainty of primacy. Is that pretty much it? I mean, I'm just trying to get the feel of this. I mean, that would be the same at that point as if you have a water right and you don't proof it for 5 years, you lose it. So that's kind of the same standard we're going for here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cruz, I think you're correct. I think the key, if you notice throughout both of these bills, one thing we did not want to do was eliminate the injury test or allow for enlargement of the water right. And we tried to say that throughout, and this was one of the elements that we agreed to language that would make that a little more clear than the original bill or the dash two amendments would have been.
Kimberly.
For the record, my name is Kimberly Priestley, and I'm here representing Water Watch of Oregon. Just a couple points. Our concerns with this bill are pretty much the same as they were before, and I just want to make a couple points on this. Right now, it's true that there are injury provisions in this bill, and we appreciate that, but there is a lot of uncertainty at this point as to exactly what injury means. In fact, there's a bill before the Senate, Senate Bill 499, that is proposing to create a task force so that people will, in fact, come to some clarity about what injury means. And with the current uncertainty, our concern is that this bill will in fact result in a decrease of stream flows. And where we think this may be a possibility is in cases where in the Deschutes Basin, where streams are overappropriated and there are people with existing water rights, not people in line for new water rights, but existing water rights who currently are not getting their water. If a surface water right is transferred to a groundwater right, those people conceivably are next in line to grab that water. And it's unclear whether the injury determination would stop the junior user from taking that water. And again, I think these are the questions that are going to be grappled with in this task force as it comes forward. So essentially, unless there is something in the bill that would protect that water in stream, we are uncomfortable with the bill.
For Kimberly.
Yeah, But in most cases, in-stream rights take primacy over what we call junior water rights. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily an issue, because in-stream is protected.
In the Deschutes Basin, the in-stream water rights are very junior in time, and there are a number of out-of-stream users who are not getting their water rights, getting their full water rights, and those go from small users to some of the big users. Like, I believe North Unit Irrigation District does not receive all the water that it would, it could under its water right. So conceivably, if the water was freed up, they could then take that water right, unless the water were in fact protected in stream. And again, I do want to make the point that we are not opposed to the transfer of surface water to groundwater if in fact it will help the river. So it's just a matter of figuring out how we can protect those flows.
Okay. Anita.
For the record, Anita Winkler from the Oregon Water Resources Congress. At your last meeting discussing this bill, we raised several issues. The proponents had been working with us and with some of our members. We had a meeting Friday morning that was an hour or so. We have another meeting scheduled tomorrow, and part of the problem has been crafting the language when we have amendments in process, and we're trying to find out what the amendments actually said and if they meet our needs. The proponents have been excellent working with us. They had the information to us as soon as they got it yesterday. We simply can't assemble our membership until tomorrow. They're out running water today. So we have the meeting set. We, again, are satisfied to work this on the Senate side, although you indicated you were uncomfortable with that, Mr. Chair, for the last time. But we would put that offer again. Okay. It's a way of saying that they have worked with us in good faith, but we still have some major issues to resolve.
Okay. Aubrey, did you have anything to add to the comments that have been made?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Very good. At this time, I'd like to have the department come and tell me why these objections are not founded and that they love the bill as it is now amended.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Clary, Director of the Water Resource Department. One, I wanted to pass out a report on our homework assignment. Unfortunately, I wasn't here on Thursday. The governor had asked me to go down to Klamath Falls with him and have fun down in Klamath rather than have fun here. But I understand. Please.
Some people do have masochistic.
I understand that we were asked to commit both to, in terms of working with the bill proponents on these bills, as well as making existing statutes work better, our comprehensive Deschutes Groundwater Mitigation Program. And that's what we do. We either try to make the existing laws we've got work for people, or if they don't work for them, we try to work with them on revising laws and providing some additional tools. What they've identified in 3215 is an additional tool. We saw the amendments yesterday around 4:30. They were much improved. Please.
The department was not involved in...
And the dash threes, no, we were, sir. But the dash threes, they've gone through a couple of different iterations, and so they're much improved from what we saw earlier. We do have some concerns about the notice provision. As Doug had indicated, we just adopted new rules on transfers and developed kind of a comprehensive notice process that we believe meets the needs of the department, the applicants, and other affected interests. And we hate to have some special provisions in statute that may have a different process that either sets up potential for procedural delays or potential for fiscal impact. So we'd like to work with them on the notice provisions, and we'd also want to make sure that under Section 5, it reads to us that somebody who used this provision in the Deschutes couldn't move back in the first 5 years. They could only move back after 5 years. And Representative Cruz, in response to your question, they always retain their priority date. transfer doesn't affect a priority date, but we have to do an evaluation for injury in this case because we've changed the standard that the movement from surface to groundwater similarly affects the surface water. Right now the statute is you're so narrowly confined to where you can move that we can say there is no injury because basically the river and all the other users see the same effects as we allow under this statute for people to move a much a greater distance. That's where we get into the injury review. Good. But you'll always retain that priority date.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Curtis.
Yeah, Paul, could in-stream water rights have seniority over other water rights from what date? I mean, when we did it, there was a date certain that they superseded any other application. I think it went back in time a little bit, didn't it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, the in-stream water right law was passed, I believe, in 87.
Right.
So most of the rights that were created under that law have 87 or junior priority dates. We did have some minimum stream flows that were established in I think, a 55 statute, and we were allowed to convert some of those to in-stream flows, and those retained that 55 date. And then if you transfer water in-stream, it carries the priority date of whatever the originating right was. So if you transfer a 1910 water right in-stream, that portion of the in-stream water right has a 1910 priority date. But the whole thing with priority dates is once we issue them, you keep them forever.
That gets the whole thing of the transfer, and we're talking junior water rights,
right.
Being able to take that place if it's an impact on in-stream and takes that below minimum, those wouldn't happen. So.
Right. But I think in sum, Mr. Chair, we're happy to work with the bill proponents. If it pleases the chair, we're happy to work with them today to prepare for Thursday, or we're happy to work with them on the other side. We do think that there are a few things that are in their interest to clarify and are in our interest as well. It's much improved from what it was earlier, though.
What's 3 o'clock today look like?
Looks good to us.
Doug?
Workload on their plate. So my concern would be whether or not less council would be able to turn.
We win a few and lose a few.
Yeah.
And it's like I always used to tell my students, you know, don't worry about it if you're failing the course. We offer the course again next year.
I would be happy to do a conceptual amendment, but maybe that's conceptual amendments aren't possible. So.
I use the time 3 o'clock because the chair will be available to meet with you. The chair would be ecstatic if you could have these things worked out before 3 o'clock so that he didn't have to spend his time meeting with the group. Obviously, the sooner you get them worked out, the sooner they go to LC and the sooner we have clean bill back. So we'd be ecstatic if you could do it earlier than that. The same thing will hold if I expect if what I expect is going to happen on 3217 as far as that particular bill. But I could be pleasantly surprised and hear that everybody's happy with 3217. We'll wait for just a second to discuss that. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Check with my office by phone as to where we're going to be meeting at.
Okay.
And. Aubrey, Kimberly, Anita, if you all would like to be there, you're certainly we want you to be part of the discussion, and we will try to move this thing forward. But we did just run out of time. Okay. We'll close the work session then on 3215, open the work session on 3217, and I wouldn't run away, gentlemen. As I understand it, you're going to be talking about that. Mr. Reagan, Pete first.
Fine. House Bill 3217. Excuse me. Okay. House Bill 3217. We have amendments to the -3. Again, the same information from Mr. Riggs.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Doug Riggs again. 3217 was a little more complicated, and I think we made a significant amount of progress on Thursday. If you look at your dash threes on page one, the first bullet on my little blue sheet that you have there, one of the things that we did is remove the words on line nine after the, remove transfer or, because the department pointed out that they already have the authority to do a transfer, so we wanted the bill to be clean and not repeat what is already in existing statute. The major changes are on page two of your dash threes, starting on line eight. This provision used to be subsection four, it is now subsection three, and there's an A and a B. And the main concern from a variety of the people in the work group was that if someone has water rights for 100 acres and they transfer 20 acres to a municipality, that they might use the remaining 80 acres of water right to irrigate the whole 100 acres. And we wanted to ensure that that didn't happen. That was not the intent of the bill. And so as you can see, if you read through Section 3A, we require that the portion of the water right that is not temporarily transferred may be used on a designated portion of the lands. And then subsection B requires the department designate the land specifically and prescribe in a reasonable time mapping, measurement, and recording requirements to make sure that this concern was not actually experienced in this particular provision. The third change that we made is on the top of page 3, line 1. There was concern in the work group that if under the dash 2s, if someone did not live up to the terms of the transfer, the department could not revoke the transfer. And so we wanted to make sure that if someone is doing what we were just talking about, which is irrigating their whole property with less than the whole water right, the department would be able to revoke the certification. And then again, we had two issues that Water Resources Congress raised, starting in line 3 of page 3, a notification, which Paul has talked about already. I'm sure he'll have the same concerns again. And then on line 9, we wanted to make sure that nothing would preclude the assessment of fees between parties that reach an agreement under this provision. And again, that was based on the information that we initially received from the Congress, and I'm not sure this exactly meets their needs, but is what we felt, given the time constraints, we could reach agreement on. I think if we get into, there'll have to be a much more detailed discussion between us and the department on this question if it is expanded much beyond this, and that may take some significant amount of time. So I would not expect that we'd be able to reach agreement on that today.
Mr. Chairman.
And I think that's all.
You know, I we're trying to save water, and if 100 years ago, maybe what you used to water 50 acres, because of the advance in technology, now you can water 250 acres. So I don't understand why, if you're going to use 20%, let's just use 100 acres, that they'd only be allowed to water 100 acres. But what if they do some water efficiency work on their land, and now they got, with the 80%, they can water all 100 acres. I'm struggling with that.
Let me just, before Paul jumps in, Mr. Chairman, Representative Schaffler, the key here was we wanted to, again, ensure that injury and enlargement were both addressed by the amendment, and that was the issue that was raised during the work group. We wanted to make sure that the bill could not be construed in any way as a vehicle to enlarge an existing water right. And Paul might be able to go into more detail.
Right. Chair Jensen, Representative Schaffler, it is a good idea, and we've got a provision in statute to promote that idea. It's called the Allocation of Conserved Water Program, and that is the one that allows you to go in and save water on a certain parcel of land, apply it to some other, and continue to apply a reduced amount. But you've got to go through that program in order to approve that. Otherwise, you know, we've got the appurtenancy issues, water rights attached to land, gets removed from the land until you either go through a transfer or this allocation conserved water. You can't start applying water to that same land. So,
okay.
But it is a good idea, and it's one that we're trying to promote.
Well,
thank you.
Mr. Chair, in relation to Representative Schaffler's question, and what the director just articulated, aren't those two statutes, won't they be in conflict to some extent?
Chair Jensen, Representative Krupp, that's the allocation of conserved water is the one that doesn't allow you to enlarge. So it specifically provides for your opportunity to spread the water and move it to some other land as well. So the language addresses the conflict. In this statute, no, there wouldn't be any conflict.
Okay.
With these amendments, no.
Okay. And other issues of concern.
Chair Jensen, again, I think this is an excellent example of how the process can work. The Dash 3 amendments are greatly improved from the earlier amendments, and we've got, again, that same concern about the notice provision. We just don't want to have procedural delays or fiscal impacts, and we think that that's something that we can work with the bill proponents on, either here or on the other side, whatever pleases the chair.
Kimberly or Audrey, do you have anything additional as far as, all right, let me hear about it.
Mr. Chair, before we let them go, may I ask a question?
Yes, but of course.
Thank you. When you provide notice, how do you do that, and to whom does it go?
Chair Jensen, Representative Tomei, right now for transfers, we provide notice in our weekly notice, and that's sent out by mail, it's sent out by email, and it's available on our website to anyone who gets on our list. And we also, if it's a change in use, which these would be going from irrigation to municipal, we require the applicant to put a notice in a newspaper in the area where the change in use is occurring and publish that notice, I believe, for 3 consecutive weeks.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please, and just the issues that haven't been discussed that are in, if you would, please.
Okay. Chair Jensen, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kimberly Priestley, here representing Water Watch of Oregon. I just have a few points. First of all, I just want to state that I think this and some of the other bills coming out of the Deschutes, we're not sure why they're needed. The municipalities do need more water in the Deschutes Basin, but there are tools out there for them to use. And we see these bills that are coming forward as just a way either to get around some of the existing environmental protections or existing transfer statutes. Second, we're also not clear how this would provide certainty to the munis. We've heard in testimony from the municipal interests in other hearings, specifically on the partial perfection bill, that they want certainty. These are temporary transfers. We do not understand how a temporary transfer would provide certainty to a municipality and actually meet their needs. Third, these are being put forward as temporary transfers, but in fact there's no cap on the transfer. So in other words, someone could have a temporary transfer of, say, up to 50 years, and if that is the intention, then there is existing law that allows irrigation districts to transfer their water rights to municipal interests under the permanent transfer statutes. And finally, I think one of the biggest concerns we are having with this bill is that we feel it's going to make it harder to restore water in stream in the Deschutes Basin. We've got, you know, federal, state, private, nonprofits spending millions of dollars and lots of time trying to restore the dewatered sections of the Deschutes and its tributaries. And this, frankly, I think will just make it easier for people who otherwise might have incentive to transfer water in stream just to hang on to their water rights. If the proponents of the bill would agree to, say, a provision that would take a percentage of the transferred water and put that in stream, it would be a lot more palatable. But right now, we just see that this will end up hurting our rivers.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, for the record, my name is Aubrey Russell. I'm with Oregon Trout. I also wanted to address the issue of the temporary nature of the transfer and the fact that there's no longer the original bill language defined temporary as being a period not to exceed 25 years, and now that cap has been removed. Historically, when one was finished using a water right, it was canceled and returned back in stream, and it became available to the next junior user. in that way, juniors had an opportunity to acquire water which was no longer being applied to a beneficial use, which had been originally anticipated. So the people waiting in line were waiting in line for a reason. With a temporary transfer that actually is not temporary because there's no longer a 25-year cap, the transfer can be to a different use. The priority date, as you heard, transfers with the right, and the juniors who are sitting there waiting in line will wait forever because this temporary transfer is really not temporary. So again, there's sort of this removal of the period blurs the distinction between temporary and long term, and we'd like to hear the department address this issue, and I'm sure they will. And I think the other points have been touched on, so I'll.
Okay. Thank you. Anita?
For the record, Anita Winkler, Oregon Water Resources Congress. One of the major issues that we were trying to address for this bill was responsibility for compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. If a municipality is moving water through irrigation ditches to be used for a municipal purpose. The proponents, in good faith, did try to get that issue addressed. Legislative Council raised an issue with it, and I found out a little after 4 o'clock yesterday. So I've not had a chance to go back and talk to Legislative Council about that issue. The other part is on page 3, line 9 through 11, addressing assessment of fees. This is the reference here to municipality is for irrigation districts. We actually want longer, stronger language. Our concern is if a city begins to transfer water away in some fashion from the district, they currently run water through the ditches. If they move that water away and aren't using it and running it through the ditches anymore and no longer have to pay assessments, we could be facing a situation damaging the district's ability financially to continue to serve the rest of the water users. That's the language we're trying to work out in that particular section. We don't have the protection we want yet in this language. We're about two-thirds of the way there, I would think. So.
We have the same issue that with this one, with 3215. We will be meeting at 3 o'clock. The chair would greatly appreciate it if all of your issues were resolved before 3 o'clock. If not, we will work on them at that particular point, and failure to get to an agreement. What happens to the bill depends upon the chair's observation of where the obstacles are coming from, and we'll kind of proceed from there. So. Is there anyone else who has anything new or different to add on this bill as far as proponents or objections? Okay, close the work session on 3213. We do have, I am going to open a work session on, I think it's 3220 briefly.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You said 3213, it's actually 3217.
I beg your pardon. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3217 and open one on 3220. This will be very brief, but we're not going to listen to anybody on it right now. We have another amendment that will be coming on this at the chair's request to confine this to the Deschutes Basin, and that along with the Dash 3 amendment, which I think you all have at this point. But would you tell us briefly what that is, Pete?
The Dash 3 amendment corrects the verbiage to make sure that the bill does what it was intended to do, that the 1% or 1 cubic foot per second applies to up to 500 cubic feet and then 1% after that. The original bill did not say that. It was actually just the opposite. And the original amendments did not say that. It was just the opposite. Now we have the amendments correct with three, and now with this added amendment that the chair has requested for Monday, it would be these amendments plus.
Okay. And it will be the chair's intent to move these bills on Thursday. In moving the bills on Thursday, it is the intent that we've got everything worked out and that it's not a matter of having to listen to a lot of discussion. It's going to be tap the bill in, get the motion, and tap the bill out, you know, the motion with the amendment, and then tap the bill out after the vote. Okay. Not unless there's something that comes up that the chair is unaware of that hasn't been heard already on it. We understand there are some people who object to the language. I think we heard testimony as far as the 1 cubic foot per second language of the deletion thereof. Heard testimony on that. If there's something else other than that, I'd ask you to get to me so that I can make a determination as to whether or not that will have or be germane to where we're going for this. Okay? Where are we at? 35. Oh, yeah, I didn't get that. It's who's here on this? We'll skip that one for right now. All right, what's the name?
Close the hearing. Did you open the hearing on the work session 3220?
Yes.
You need to close the work session 3220.
Close on 3220. I open a work session on House Bill 3616. Tell us where we're at and why we got here.
House Bill 3616 related to special property taxes assessments on conservation easements and wildlife habitat issues. We've heard the bill once and talked about it, and there is a set of amendments, the dash twos. Which representative from Defenders of Wildlife can discuss, which were sent out to make arrangements and clarify some issues and come in agreement with Cattlemen and Farm Bureau related to this issue.
Cattlemen. We don't have Farm Bureau here this morning?
Gene's not here today.
Hi.
Gene Wilkinson isn't here today.
She trusts you to...
I can speak on behalf of them.
Okay. Tell me what the amendments do. We've already heard the bill. Tell me what the amendments do and why you've got them and who's happy and who's unhappy.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Andrew Bowman. I'm the Private Lands Conservation Council with Defenders of Wildlife. I participated in the Conservation Incentives Work Group and was involved in the drafting of the bill and the amendments.
Could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, I'm Andrew Bowman with Defenders of Wildlife.
Okay, thank you.
The Dash 2 amendments include a few substantive changes and a number of technical amendments. Together, these amendments address the concerns raised at the work session last week and more fully enact the consensus reached by the work group on a number of key issues. First, and probably most important, the amendments delete sections 22 through 30 of the bill as introduced. Those sections address the conservation easement special assessment. This change was made as a result of concerns expressed at last week's work session. Second, the amendments add provisions that clarify local government discretion to participate in the wildlife habitat conservation and management program. Specifically, the amendments clarify that cities as well as counties can request from the Fish and Wildlife Commission to participate in the program. The amendments also create a mechanism by which cities and counties can exit the program. The amendments provide a criterion that the cities or counties can exit the program upon showing and economic burden. This criterion reflects the concern of the work group that participation in the Habitat program be revenue neutral. Now, on this one topic, if we might request a conceptual amendment on just one word in the bill, and Katie might be able to speak to this as well. Would you like me to explain
that? If we're going to propose a conceptual amendment on one word, I got to know what the word is and where it's at.
Mr. Chair, it's on page 2, line 28 of the dash 2 amendments. Currently, the line reads, the commission may remove the designation. And we ask for a conceptual amendment to change the word to shall, so that it would read, the commission shall remove the designation.
If? Is it if in there, too?
I'm sorry, if as well, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Katie Fast, Oregon Cattlemen. Chair Jensen, members of the committee, we are in favor of the dash 2 amendment, that we do request this small conceptual amendment for the basis that if counties are possibly suffering economic turmoil and they can prove that to the commission, then the commission should grant them the ability to opt out of the wildlife habitat conservation program. And this was the intent of the work group that Defenders of Wildlife, Cattlemen, Farm Bureaus, and others participated in during the last interim. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
It is your understanding that the word may is permissive and the word shall is mandatory?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there, other than that, everybody's happy?
We are.
Okay. The chair right now is waiting for legislative council to show up. And they should be along here in a matter of seconds, I think, and so we'll just stand at ease for a moment.
Thank you.
It's House Bill 3616-2, amendments, page 2, section 7, A2. The commission may remove the designation if the commission shall remove the designation if.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brendan McCarthy, Deputy Legislative Counsel, for the record. I'm not the drafter of this amendment offhand, so I don't really know the background at all. But offhand, I don't see any reason why we couldn't make that change.
Brendan, is shall more mandatory in this case than may? That's my question.
Mr. Chair, I believe that, yes, it is.
Okay. That answers my question.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
I don't want to say that, I mean, not knowing why it was made to begin with and not knowing the background, I'm a little bit loath to say that it's okay, but it definitely is more mandatory.
It does make it more mandatory,
yes.
Which is what the intent is of,
okay.
Of the group. Okay. Thank you, Brendan.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. With this, seeing nobody else wants to testify on this or wants to object, or the Oregon Environmental Council wants to weigh in. I'm not sure that I need it. The Oregon Environmental Council has offered some written testimony on this. The chair would note that this was not invited testimony, and in work sessions, that's generally what we only thing that we consider, but we would still read it into the record that they have entered the testimony and become part of your bill folder on this. And with that, the chair is ready for a motion if anyone has it.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 3616.
Representative Dingfelder moves.
Conceptually amended.
We need first a conceptual amendment.
Okay. So just the dash twos?
We don't need the dash twos. We need to conceptually amend the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move that we conceptually amend the dash two amendments to House Bill 3616.
Representative Dingfelder moves that we conceptually amend the dash two amendments, section 7-2, to read the commission shall remove the designation if. That's section 7A2. We replace the word may with the word shall. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Now,
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 3616.
Representative Dingfelder moves that we adopt the dash two amendments as conceptually amended to House Bill 3616. Is there discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Dingfelder.
Mr. Chair, I move that we send House Bill 3616 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. So we refer it to revenue.
Representative Dingfelder moves that we send House Bill 3616 as amended to the floor with a subsequent referral to revenue as amended. Is there any discussion?
With a due pass recommendation?
With a due pass recommendation.
With a due pass recommendation, Mr. Chair.
I don't want to give the people a heart attack in the back row. Thank you for saving that for us. Hearing no discussion, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Excused.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dinkle.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
Excuse me.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 3616 as amended is moved to the Committee on Revenue. And then we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3616. And you thought it wasn't going to make it, huh, guys? Okay. Are we 30? Is that the last one?
That's the last bill.
Okay. We'll open a work session on House Bill 3519 and tell me the illustrious history of 3519, Mr. Tess.
House Bill 3519 has been, it originally was a bill that talked about written complaints for DSL related to filling or removal violations. Since then, there will be amendments that were originally part of Bill 2431 that are supposed to be put into this bill. It's a very lengthy set of amendments. They just got out yesterday afternoon. DSL and the amenders have been going over those, and they're not ready for discussion. I understand they're probably back in the hands of LC to be corrected. So it's really not ready to discuss today because we don't have those amendments.
Where are the amenders?
Okay, the amenders are a work group that was set up at the original committee, because this was originally an environment and land use.
a group of consultants and others were put together to amend certain portions of 2431 that was removed to discuss various issues related to wetland mitigation, bankings, and wetlands and fill and removal. The department had been working on these amendments with that work group. They finally got them done. And like I say, they're very lengthy, 40-some-odd pages. And they've got them to LC. It took LC the better part of 5 days to work it. It came out yesterday. They've been reviewing them yesterday morning, found numerous areas where they had to work with them. And I assume back in and hopefully be prepared to actually look at them on when the chair chooses to see it again, if we can do that.
Is there some reason, Mr. Test, that they are not available to, since this was on work session, that they're not available to explain at least in part where they're at and where they want to go and what they're proposing to do?
Mr. Chair, other than the fact that they knew that there was a hearing scheduled for today, no.
There was a work session.
A work session scheduled for today. Other than they may have assumed on their own that it wasn't going to be heard, but nobody ever told them we had it scheduled. We do have the dash sevens for that amendment available, and you should have them in your file.
You committed the dash sevens to memory, haven't you?
I was probably worse off than them trying to figure it out yesterday.
The chair is more than mildly perplexed. We've been waiting quite a while on this bill. And we understand the complexity of the issue. But I'm perplexed at why we do not have someone here to explain to us something about what the bill is and what it intends to do and what the problems are. It makes it extremely difficult in the time schedules that we have to work with to be able to look at a 40-page bill that does not yet have the amendments, that we don't even have any knowledge of what this group wants to do.
And Mr. Chairman, will they be offering this course next year?
I think maybe the opportunity will be available to offer the course again next year. I don't want to close the door, but it is really pushing us to expect us to be that prepared on a bill as complicated as I believe this bill is reported to be, sort of thing. So, if you don't see it again, please don't be overly surprised. If you do see it, it may be a miracle, and we may work it, sort of thing. So, I definitely would like to try to, help this group move forward a piece of legislation that may be very important to us in the state of Oregon. If we have some marching orders as to when we're supposed to get things done, and we have to live with those orders, whether sometimes we need or want to, sort of thing. So we will at this point then close the work session on House Bill 3519 with or without the dash 8 amendments, sort of thing. And I believe, members, that concludes our business for today. I had expected that this bill would take a substantial amount of time for us to listen to testimony on, and not having the bill here means that we're closing on schedule, even though it's a little early for you. Okay?
Break my heart.
With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.